All right. Good morning, guys. All right. We're going to get straight into word this morning. Would you join me in prayer, those that are around? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for just the time to gather together in your name. God, we just pray that as we open the word, as we spend time just focusing on you, I know a lot of times, God, we can just have so many things that take place in our mind. So many situations, so many problems, even good things that are happening, Father, that it's tough to just slow down and to focus on you. And so we pray just in the next few minutes that you give us an opportunity to do that. We believe in this place that your word through your Holy Spirit speaks. And so wherever we find ourselves in life today, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you have freedom in this place, that you speak. God, to hearts. That's our desire. So we pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to read from Psalm 29 this morning. And man, I just think it is such appropriate timing. So here we go. Psalm 29, starting at verse 1. It says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, and the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace." Man, I tell you, it doesn't take much to see the news, to grab a newspaper, to see headlines, social media, any of these kind of things. This last couple of weeks, there's been earthquakes, there's been hurricanes, and man, just crazy the timing of this coming into Psalm 29 and seeing that this God is the God over all, that he has power over the wind, he has power over the seas, all things. And it really raises this inner question that is very similar a lot of us have, believers and non-believers alike. Here's what I want to do. I want to explain kind of what that means. I don't want to just brush over a churchy word like believers or non-believers, okay? Believers, those who have put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, that he is Lord and Savior of their life, that they can't earn salvation by any other means, that they are believers in the way, the truth, and the life through Jesus Christ. Non-believers would be people that are just living life outside of that relationship with Christ, right? That have not put their faith and trust in him. And so believers and non-believers alike, when we see the news, when we see situations like the earthquake that's in Haiti, we see the Hurricane Michael that just brought devastation along the coast. Everyone at some point or another looks at a situation like that and has to ask the question, because we're human, where is God? Where is God in all that? In fact, you say that if a non-believer would answer or ask the question in some kind of way like this, if God is real like you say he is, why would he let that happen? Why would God allow bad things to happen? If you read a passage like Psalm 29, if you read and see that he is the one that strips the forest bare, he has control over that. That he tears down the cedars, and that he does all these things with the wind and sea. If he is truly Lord over that, then where is God? Why can't he just make a hurricane stop? Anybody ever ask anything like that? Where is God in this? Where is God, right? Where is God in the earthquake in Haiti? Where is God in the hurricane that ripped across the coast? Where is God when a dad is taken too young from his kids? Where is God in the midst of cancer? Where is God in the midst of the abuse and addiction that has ruled my life? Where is God? You say he's all powerful. Why does he allow bad things to happen? We've all asked that in some form or fashion, but never more prevalent when we see it in the midst of natural disaster. We see the news. We see people hurting. We see people lost. We see people killed. We see people injured. We ask, God, if you are love, where are you when the storm rages on? And I'm going to be honest, that is one of these crazy things that we look at and we see in Psalm 29, and we know that God is in control of nature. God is in control of all of these things. And each disaster comes, we just say, God, if you were love, where are you? Why won't he stop a hurricane? Why won't he intervene in the midst of earthquakes? I don't know that I have all the answers for you today on that, but I think I do have some that I believe come straight from the Word of God. The first I want to tell you is that we live in a broken world. I wish I had better news. I wish I could say, you know what, probably the next hurricane, he's just going to stop it in the middle and put up a barrier. Because we could all say he could, right? We say he's all powerful. He can stop hurricanes. He can calm the seas. We see that in Jesus' life, God in the flesh, seeing him speaking and the wind and the seas obey. In fact, we see passages where the disciples marvel, who is this that the winds and seas obey? Then why didn't he do it in Michael? Why didn't he do it in the earthquake? God, where are you in the midst of a storm? And maybe making it even more personal, God, you know the storm and chaos that's been going on in my life. Where are you? Why don't you stop it? Why don't you just speak a word? Because if we're honest this morning, some of us probably get real frustrated at the point of saying, God, you could stop it, but you haven't. Where are you? We live in a broken world. I want to encourage you by that by saying that we were never meant for natural disasters. Eden never was supposed to have natural disasters, but sin brought a curse. Not only brought on a curse on man, but brought a curse on this world. We were never made to go through the horror of natural disasters. In fact, Romans 8, 19 through 22 says this, "For creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and attain freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now." Do you realize that when Eden, this perfection that God created us and placed us in for a perfect relationship with him, that is God's desire. That is what he wanted. But he placed us in this place called Eden, and there was no natural disasters on the scene. There was no sin. Everything was in perfect harmony. But when sin had its way, not only us, but nature is under a curse. Nature's groaning, as Paul puts it in Romans. I just believe, too, that there is this place where, honestly, not saying that in every natural disaster this is God's desire, but one of the byproducts that does come from that is this idea that there is this uncertainty of life. Everybody understand that? Everybody understand that you are not guaranteed, you are not promised tomorrow. There could be news today that changes everything. Not promised any of these things. And so there is this uncertainty, this reminder, as James puts it, that life is a vapor. Last week was at my 35-year-old nephew's funeral, and the pastor shared, life is but a vapor. 35 years seems like a long time till you're standing there and you have to say goodbye. 35 years, life is a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. Can I ask the normal preacher question, but I want to ask it in maybe a different way? What if today was your last day? What if the uncertainty of life comes? What if a storm hits your life today? Not just a natural disaster, not one that you read about in the paper, but one that wreaks havoc in your life. What if it hits today? Are you ready? I know that's the typical way to ask that. Are you ready? But that is a real question. If these are uncertain times, if there is an uncertainty about life, are you ready if today was a day? In fact, I want to ask it in this way. Not only are you ready, but what kind of legacy will you leave? I don't know about you. I want to leave a legacy. I don't want to just leave this world's treasures. I don't want to leave something for kids to fight over in a will. I want to leave a legacy that matters, that when I'm gone, that my life has made a difference. Life is uncertain, and it doesn't seem fair. In fact, if you want to know the truth, really this question from the beginning of time has echoed, where is God? When these bad times hit, where is God? God, you could stop this. Where are you? We've all said it. Anybody want to admit you've asked? God, where are you? Times are tough right now. Where are you? Are you real? Do you exist? Do you hear my prayers? We've all said it. At least I think we have. If not, I want to just go on and be the first to say I've said it. I've said it the last couple of weeks. God, where are you at in this? I just need to hear from you. I need you. Something to think on this morning. I want you to think about it in this way. This is a little deep, but I just want you to ponder this thought. This is one of those that I say sometimes that if you think about this too long, it'll really bake your noodle. That's your brain. It'll just have you, man, this is too lofty for me to understand, but something to think on. When you read the news, when you see the news unfold on TV, there is no natural disaster that will ever add to the overall death total. And you say, now, wait a minute, Keith, I heard so many died in Michael. I heard so many died from the earthquake. But here's what I want you to understand. It does not add to the overall death total. You understand that every single person, barring the Lord's return, has an appointment with death. May change the way that it happens. It may be a death that we wouldn't want to choose or a way that we would want to go, but each and every single person, when sin entered the picture and brought the curse of death, every single one of us have an appointment with that day. Now, anybody want to sit around and talk about that fun talk? That's not fun to think about, but it's true. I would be doing a disservice if I didn't mention the idea, are you ready for the uncertainty that life can bring? This was never God's desire, though. I know this gets into the question, but he could stop it. Why didn't he stop it? This was never his desire. This is the beauty of free will and free choice, that we chose death over life. We chose sin over God's way, therefore bringing curse to us and a curse to nature as well. God never intended or wanted or desired to bring natural disaster. This very nature that we live in is under the curse itself and is groaning with anticipation of a day where everything will be made new. Everything will be set right. We look in this life and we say, man, not only these natural disasters or these personal tragedies, all of these things, but this is the hardest, single hardest thing to answer non-believers when they say, I thought your God was love. Where is he in all this? Where couldn't he have stopped it? Man, when you answer the question, yeah, God could stop the hurricane, but he didn't. What does that do to your faith? What does that do to the faith of those around you when you have to say, yeah, he is all powerful. He could stop it, but he didn't. And it really is one of these moments where we have to come and we have to say, man, I just don't necessarily understand it all. Boy, and that really gets to the place of the intellectuals in our group, the planners of our group that's got to have a plan and a process. Do you understand the uncertainty that comes with our God? We can't plan everything out. His ways are not our ways. We read Psalm 29, though, and we see moment after moment of David praising God and saying, all of this attributed to your voice. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. This is the God that controls everything, yet natural disasters and things and uncertainties in life still happen. And we got to ask, God, where are you at in this? I don't understand. Where are you? I want you to take away a couple of things from this. You cannot understand his ways. I can't understand his ways. I wish I could, man. I wish there are certain things. Maybe I don't really want that. Maybe inside my heart I want that. But to understand the weight of the knowledge and the glory of God, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 puts it like this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Have you ever seen those trippy videos where they talk about, like, they pull back from the earth's view, the Milky Way, and you see the Milky Way, and it's just like this huge expanse of planets and stars. And then when they pull back from, like, Hubble telescope type stuff, and you see that really in the grand scheme of things, we're really this small little cluster, that there's so much out there that we are just now knowing about, and some stuff we will never know about. And he says, this distance from the heavens to the earth, that's how far away your ways and your thoughts are from my ways and my thoughts. Yet we sit around and we pursue knowledge like we can figure out this holy God. Yes, we have a picture. Yes, we have some kind of glimpse of what God is like based on who Jesus was. We see God in the flesh and how he interacts with others, and it is beautiful. It is grace. It is mercy. It is compassion. It is love. But yet, even still, if we look, really, we look at the life of Jesus and we say, man, that's not the way I would have drawn it up. I wouldn't have drawn up for him to come and to live a perfect life, a holy life, a sinless life, yet to die on a cross being his reward. Some mind of God issues we will never, ever understand. And to be honest, that drives some of us absolutely crazy. I want to know. I want to have a plan. I want to figure everything out, especially when we come to a place, God, where are you? Where are you in the midst of the storm? Why don't you save us from natural disasters? I'll be honest, I read Psalm 29 and in a time like this, it is so timely, so appropriate to think about the storms, to think about the chaos that has been our family's life, right? Just the last couple of weeks. Think about this and say, God, with but a word, you could have stopped it all. Does that not bug anybody? I mean, do you want to be honest this morning? God, that you could have stopped every single bad thing in my life and you didn't. Where are you, God? See, I'm going to be real enough to tell you that that bugs me. It really does. But I have to have trust. I have to have faith that his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. But I want to end on something very encouraging. I want you to think about it this. When you get to a place where you say, God, where are you? Why don't you save us? I want to let you know he already has. When we get to thinking, man, it's hands off, God. You could have saved us. You could have done something. He did. He stepped out of heaven's glory in the form of a man named Jesus Christ. He walked a humble and simple life. He loved everyone he came in contact with. He spoke truth. He spoke grace. He spoke mercy. Did nothing wrong. And it led them to him laying his life down on a cross. When we say, oh God, where are you? Why don't you save me? He's saying, I have. I already did. Man. It's good stuff when we think about it that way. He has already intervened. He has already faced the storm. He has already came and taken on every sin of the world. You understand that it says that it was our Father's will. It pleased him to see Jesus crushed. And what that means is not just this. I want you to understand that it wasn't just the physical agony. When Jesus himself was in the garden, he was praying, Lord, if there's any other way, Father, if there's any other way, will you let this cup pass from me? I want to tell you, Jesus was not some sissy guy. I hate the pictures that are painted of Jesus. Jesus wasn't white. He wasn't blonde. For my brothers and sisters out here of color, I hate to tell you, he's not black. He is a Jew. He was a Middle Eastern guy. And by the way, he was a carpenter, and not a carpenter like a sissy carpenter wannabe like me that's got power tools. This dude had hand tools. This dude had calluses on his hand. This dude was a guy, I'm sure, of doing this kind of work. He had to have muscles, right? I don't have those, much of them. They're buried under layers and layers of stuff, but there used to be muscles. This is a guy, man. This is a man's man. And he walked and he led his life with such a compassionate and mercy-filled way. And he would encounter people that were untouchable in their society, like a leper with a skin disease. And he would touch them These are people that had to yell, I'm unclean, get away from me. And it was like that was just a calling for Jesus. It just drew them even closer. Unclean, man, I got to go that way. I love on some people. I got to hug some people. I got to touch them. I got to heal them. This is a man's man. And what crushed him the most in the garden, it wasn't that he was worried about the physical agony alone. He was concerned about that, I assure you, because Jesus had seen and knew of death on a cross. But it was more the separation from a father, this perfect relationship that was going to be broken. Why? Because he intervened on mine and your behalf. So that's a debt they can't pay. It was always meant to be this way. Creating us, knowing that we would sin. I'll be honest, man. There's so many things that come up about the gospel that just blow my mind. And you want to say his ways are not my ways? I can tell you they're not, because I look at it and I see of all the pain that we cause, of all the mistakes that we made, of all the sin against his holiness, yet he still created knowing we would do that. Knowing that he would leave heaven, knowing that he would redeem us, knowing all the pain that would cause, and yet still choosing to do it. So when we say, God, where are you? Why don't you save us? He says, I already have. Not how I would have drawn it up, but he's already intervened because of the cross. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, all things are being renewed. And one day, Eden itself will be renewed. We will be restored and all things made new in the new kingdom of God, bought and purchased with a precious price. Martin Luther is one of my favorite theologians to read about and to study some of his works and just the way he lived his life. I don't agree with everything, but I just want to say this. I want to share in this quote in closing. I think it's appropriate when we think about the storms that are literal storms that we've seen in the news. When we think about the storms of life, the ones that I've encountered this last couple of weeks, the ones you are encountering right now, whatever that is, addiction, abuse, isolation, loneliness, any of these things that you are fighting right now and you say, my God, where are you? Where are you? Show yourself to me. Would you not just save me? I want to share a beautiful quote in closing. This is from Martin Luther, and he says this, when you look around and wonder whether God cares, you must always hurry to the cross and must see him there. When you ever get to a point, when you see something on the news, when life is hitting you hard, when life is hitting you where it hurts, right in your faith, of even the enemy twisting and saying, he can't be real. God wouldn't allow that to happen. If he's as good as you say he is, he would not allow Hurricane Michael to happen. We've got to remember, we live in a broken world, that even our world itself is under a curse and groaning for the day that everything will be set right, everything will be made new. And we say, God, where are you? Won't you save us? If you can just picture God saying himself in a father way, in a loving, compassionate father, I already have. When you look around and wonder whether God cares, you must always hurry to the cross and see him there. He has rescued us. He has bought us with a price. Would you pray with me? Let's thank him. This morning, I just want to say, and just bow your heads and close your eyes, just in the stillness. You don't have to say it out loud. I want you to draw attention. I want this to be between you and God. You celebrate this. However, if you know him this morning, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and have that relationship, would you just stop for just a second? Say, God, when I say, where are you? Help me remember the cross. Help me remember the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for saving me. This morning, if I ask you to pause and you say, man, I can't say that. I don't know that I've ever put my faith and trust in him. Would you maybe think about that today just with a word? Father, would you give me that kind of faith through Jesus? Would you take my place? Would you allow me to find salvation in your cross, your grace, and your mercy? Thank him for that. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to read this statement again. When we say, God, where are you? Will you save me? Where are you? I can't see you. I can't hear you. I can't feel you. Where are you? When you look around and wonder whether God cares, you must always hurry to the cross. Father, we thank you and just pray that you would help us to remember that. When situations happen on the news, we look, we see hurting very close to us in proximity, maybe even family members that are in Florida, the panhandle, the coast, that Father just had it hard. We look and we see the devastation and even creeps in our mind, if there is truly a good God in heaven, this would not happen. Let us remember we live in a broken world, a world at war and at chaos. A world in its nature itself is groaning to the day that everything is made new. Everything is set right. Help us to remember that. Help us when we, in a feeble mind, in a mind that can't understand your ways or your thoughts, when we ask, God, where are you? When life hits us hard, when we lose someone, when we have tragedy, when we battle addiction or depression, loneliness, anything that we deal with. And we ask over and over, God, where are you? Why won't you save me? Help us remember that you already have. Help us to take the journey to that hill, to the cross where Jesus died. We love you. We thank you for salvation. Father, if there's those of us in the sound of my voice that believe in you, that have faith in Jesus Christ in their salvation, that everything Jesus did paid for their sins, we thank you for that. We say amen. We say hallelujah. We praise you for our salvation. And God, I beg with a humble heart, if there's anyone in the sound of my voice that doesn't yet have that, that today would be the day of salvation. They would bend the knee and say, I can't do it on my own. I need you, Father. Through Jesus, I need salvation that is found in you alone. Forgive me. Save me. Redeem me. Father, we thank you for that. I believe that's happened today. I believe there's others that have made that decision today. I believe there's those that have that are saying, man, next time a storm hits, God, help me remember the cross. You've already saved us. You've already intervened. You've already redeemed us. For that, we're unworthy, but we're thankful. We love you. We trust you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for being